And just bow down your heads. Let us just take those declarations. Say, my heart is enlightened. Say it loud. My heart is enlightened. I have the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of revelation. The spirit of understanding. I am able to conceive the word of God. My heart is alive. Say, my heart is alive to God. And the word of God affects my innermost being. It is transforming my life. It's taking me from one level to another. I'm becoming more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I will gain understanding as the word of God comes forth, and my life will be transformed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open to the book of Psalms 131. That's where we are starting from again today. The book of Psalms, chapter 131. He said, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters, or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. He said, Israel, take my example. He was saying in verse 3, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Please notice that. David said that my heart has been removed from certain things. Pride is out of it and my eyes are not lifted up. What I don't do is to involve myself in things that are too difficult for me. He said, how did I do that? I composed, and that's a conscious effort I made. So David said, I have done certain procedures. As a result of those actions and activities, I have composed and quieted my soul, so that like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is quiet, all right, within me. All right, so he was now saying Israel should take example from that. Open your Bibles quickly to the book of Joshua chapter 1. We'll look at that again, then I begin to teach this afternoon. The book of Joshua chapter 1. I'll read from because of time, let's just say from verse 5. Where I'm going is verse 8. We'll read from verse 5 and end in verse 9, but our emphasis will be taken from verse 8. God was speaking to Joshua after the death of Moses, and he told him concerning what he now had to go ahead and do. Now, let's look into our Bibles, verse 5. Now, he said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will also be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give these people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn, he said, from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. So you see that success does not come just by praying. Success does not come by our efforts. It comes by obedience to the word of God. Do you understand my point? That is the rule of success. You obey the word of God, you will succeed. Now, the problem here is that how will a man obey the word of God? He now said in verse 8, this is a procedure by which obedience will come to your life. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Now, please, before I read further, don't forget in verse 7, he has spoken to him concerning the key to success. The key to success is obedience to the word of God. But the key to obedience is meditation. That's what he was saying. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Can you see that? The key to success is what? Is what? Obedience. Obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the commandments of God. That's the key to success. But the key to obedience, he said, is giving attention to the word of God and meditating upon it day and night. He said, if you do that, it will come about that your body will just take up obedience. You'll be able to do all that is written in it, and then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. He said, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I like to emphasize this all the time. When he said, "Do not tremble or be dismayed," what that simply means is that there will be many occasions in life that a man will want to tremble. There will be many occasions where dismay will come upon him. Do you understand what I'm saying? God wouldn't have said, don't tremble or be dismayed. Were it not that there will be situations in which a man will be tempted. No, not just tempted now. You know, there are times you are tempted to do or not do. But there are things that just happen to you. Do you understand my point? That dismay will come upon you as you go about life. A time will come, you will see giants. Like, because this was a man that was going to lead Israel to go and attack giants. All right? You will see giants. You saw them before. And you say, God can help us and we'll take the land. A time will come when two giants will corner you. Do you follow what I'm saying? As you're about to take the land, two of them just say, "Is that not the Joshua guy? Come to this corner." Do you follow what I'm saying? And at such times, you now begin to wonder that, why did I say that in front of the congregation that day? You know, it will happen. When two giants corner you, my brother, you need more than human will not to be afraid. You need more than human will not to be dismayed. That's a matter of fact, all right? So God was not saying to Joshua, therefore, that it's not just about struggling. I will give you a simple principle that you will operate and you will discover strength, all right, and courage coming out of inside you. Now, that's just explaining the two scriptures that we are reading and we are going to look into further today as we are talking about how to compose and quieten your soul. Don't forget what we have been talking about. Of course, all the while we are talking about faith basics, the fundamentals of faith. Where we are right now is what we call the faith rest life. That God is not working if you are struggling. That you can get to a place you are not struggling to get to. All right? It's possible. In fact, that's what God wants. It's called the grace of God. He said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Example I like to give all the time, because it was Paul that made that statement, is how his life is affecting you and I today. We are sitting down here and we are mentioning Paul. Paul never engineered anything. Do you follow my point? So that his name would be on the lips of everybody. No, he never did. People have told me before, right here, how are you going to make yourself known and perpetrate yourself and all of that? I said, perpetuate yourself. I don't know the correct English. Which one is correct, sir? And anyway, both English. You know what I mean, Abby? Uh-huh. And I thought the person telling me that, I said, no, that's not the idea. Those whose names, all right, are never forgotten, did not try, all right, to make sure that their names were not forgotten. A woman, because of the love and the devotion she had to the Lord Jesus Christ, came and did something that was very, very, let me use the word, ghastly. That is, Judas looked and said, "Why didn't you sell that perfume and let us go and give to the poor?" And Jesus said, "Forget that side. Now, anywhere that this gospel will be preached, this thing will be told." That is, she didn't do that so that he will remember her forever. She did it because she wanted, it was an expression of what was inside her. What am I trying to explain? You can get to a place you did not scheme for. I like to emphasize that all the time. David did not scheme to be king. Not at all. God looked for a king and found David. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, and those are the challenges we have in Christianity. To be willing to accept the will of God as opposed to our own personal ambitions. Listen, there is nothing, let me say it again so as to encourage your heart and encourage your soul. There is nothing you can ever dream of or imagine for your life that God has not conceived something beyond that for you. There is nothing. That's a matter of fact. There is nothing. There is nothing you can ever imagine that God did not conceive or prepare something beyond that for you. The Bible says that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what we can ask or think. That is the ability we have concerning conceiving matters. God is able to do beyond that. Do you get what I'm saying? And that's a matter of fact. That is why a person like David wouldn't scheme to be king, yet one day he will be king. And having recognized this fact, we therefore, what is the challenge for us? To be able to rest in the hands of God. To be able to take the days day by day. I said something to us before that we say all the time that Abraham waited for God for 25 years. But did he really wait for God for 25 years before Isaac came? And the promise of God was, this interesting part, let me just say this. The promise of God was not even fulfilled during the lifetime of Abraham. Isaac was not the promise. Isaac was just the first stage of the fulfillment of the promise of God. God said, "In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." But once Isaac was born, it was a sign. All right. It was a sign to Abraham that everything that God said he would do, they are going to come to pass. Isaac was never the promise. In fact, if you go and read in that Hebrews chapter 11, it will tell you that all these died without inheriting the promise. So Isaac in himself was not the promise. But when Abraham saw Isaac, It was like a Simeon who saw the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby. Even though the world had not been saved, Jesus had not yet died for their sins. Yet he said, now thy servant can depart in peace, that my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Yet the world has not yet been saved. Are you getting my point? That's what Isaac was to Abraham. Once Isaac was born, and God took Abraham through the experience of having to sacrifice Isaac and delivering Isaac and all of that, Abraham knew for certain that everything that God promised, no matter how crazy they may seem to the common mind, at least if he can resurrect the body of my wife and my own body, and we can give birth to this child, then there is nothing that he ever promised that will not come to pass. Therefore, he died in peace, not having seen the promise of God fulfilled. Please, do you follow what I'm going to explain there? So, did he wait for Isaac for 25 years? The truth is that he did not. Abraham waited for Isaac every day. He wasn't waiting for 25 years. Each day, God gives you something to do. Do you get my point? And it's why you are resting. And that's what we're talking about. The rest that you achieve in God is what allows him to fulfill the promise in your life. Do you understand my point? Now, one day, let me just tell this testimony that my wife gave. She went for a women's meeting somewhere, and one woman gave this testimony. She was married, fine woman, fine husband, fine family. Then she was married for years. She did not have a child. And every day she would pray and fast and this and that and she did not have a child. Are you getting my point? And she fasted and prayed and fasted, and she did not have a child. And she cried and cried and cried and cried, and she did not have a child. And she, what is, I don't know where she, modern day Pentecostal. You go sow seed. She did not have a child, all right? She did everything. Finally, she got tired. And said, no more mourning in my life. No more lamentation in my life. After all, I'm a lucky woman. You understand what I'm saying? My husband is good. He's faithful. He's not even complaining. So she said, from now on, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to be happy. So when she wakes up in the morning, she would have a very good bath, make up very well, look nice, put on her jewelry. You know how wicked souls, you see? She's not even ashamed. All these wicked people that don't know God, they look at her. That's why she doesn't have a child now. Shameless. People like her that should be mourning. She's like, that's your problem. I have quieted and composed my soul. That's where we are going. Then one day she went for, a wedding. The main gist was that this woman looked at her and called her. Say, I just saw you. My spirit just reached out to you. And like, see, you look so beautiful. This was a woman talking to her. And then God said, I should tell you that there's something you are waiting for from his hand, that it is yours. The woman didn't say more than that. And she just knew that it was the childbearing matter. She didn't know the woman. Nobody said they meet. Say, okay, let's network at that wedding. She just went for a function. And in her normal smiling and being jovial, the woman just looked at her. I think called her or approached and said, I just saw you sitting down there. And you look so beautiful. Just something I said. And God said, I should tell you that there's something that you deeply desire. And that thing he has granted you. Listen. He said, that the end of that month, her period came as usual, but it was the last one for a very long time. I know her. She has like 4 or 5 children. They born them at random. Now, why did I tell that story? Just to illustrate the issue of rest. It was when she entered into her rest. It was when she entered into her rest. Let me just tell 2 more stories along those lines. You just illustrate this point. I remember one of my colleagues those days. Also, she was married like that. And for 10 years, she did not have a child. 10 good years. 10. 10 is quite long, all right? It's a long time. Don't think Abraham's 25 years is long. Events, they happen like that every day. 10 years. And then I remember when she was traveling abroad. Well, she and her husband, she's a medical doctor. When she was leaving the country, she finally was like, well, okay, let's just leave this matter like that. I don't know the details, but let me tell you what I saw from outside. Okay? What did I see from outside? She went adopted a daughter, all right? A 2-year-old girl. I met the girl, all right? And it was like, okay, let me have, because before she traveled, it's easier to adopt in Nigeria than abroad. So she did that. And then the following year, somebody told him that, oh, you know this person? He's like, how is she doing? Oh, she had a baby boy, you know, maybe recently. I think after she composed and quieted her soul, and stopped all this. By faith, I receive it. Give me by faith. You know, this kind of agidu against God. She took a girl, adopted the girl, and that, I believe, this is not my own interpretation. At that point, she had quietened her soul. Then God was able to ignite motions. And the person telling the story, we're all doctors, said this was without any medical intervention. The following year, a year and a half later, she had a baby boy. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? All right, no, that's just the way it works. All right, that's just the way it works. And that story, I read this one in the newspaper, so I can tell you the name. He's a pastor in Lagos. I read the story, his wife wrote the story, the same issue. She, for a long time, she was there praying and fasting and doing everything, nothing happened. Then finally, she reasoned from the scriptures. That is not that you talk about the wealth of the wicked, all right, is laid up for the righteous. That the wicked will labor for the righteous. That is only in money matters. What about in children matters? Say there are small girls having children every day that they don't want. It's the will of God. She went and collected one in adoption. Yes. After that, she conceived and gave birth. Are you getting my point? Now listen, let me tell you this. A lot of things we are talking about that we claim that how does it work, how does it not work? I've told you before, let's be careful what we call faith. Some of them is harassment, is disturbance of God, and the stubbornness of the heart is a sign of lack of peace inside your soul. Listen, let me tell you the truth. If you have to wake up every morning and pace up and down, in the name of Jesus, I receive it, and it's a material thing, something that you desire, you are not walking in faith, you are walking in disquietness of soul. Did you hear what I said? You are walking in what? You like my English, have you? You know, I keep inventing words like that to make my point very clear. The soul is not quiet within you. You have not composed, you have agitated your soul. But they told that the way to agitate your soul in Christianity is to keep confessing. It is not the words we speak. There are things behind what we are saying. We are disturbed sometimes. We are not quiet. And I'm emphasizing again that it's when we are quiet that God moves. Let me not preach that message all over again, but I think I've given these few illustrations to emphasize the point. Do you get my point? You will become rich in life when you stop trying to become rich. Your prosperity will come the day you get tired of sowing seeds towards it. Say amen. One of the reasons why God never answered you is he said, if I do this thing, now me and this boy will struggle for the glory. He will come and testify that these were the keys that I pray. You know, Christians love keys. They don't believe in mercy and grace. They love keys. Then I pressed this key. This was the key they pressed. And I pushed this button. One woman was talking to me recently, said, Pastor, how come this has not happened? I said, I perceive you are a Pentecostal. You know the way Jesus will talk? I said, I perceive you are a Pentecostal. That is the problem with us in the world of faith. What confession have I not made? You get what I'm saying? He said, when do you make the confession? 8 o'clock. Ah, if I wait till 8:30 now, God never wake that time. No. A lot of those things, we are just disturbing our souls. We have not achieved rest. Do you understand my point? And our labor is to enter into what? The rest of God. The labor, listen to me clearly, is not to get results in life, because God always brings results. The labor is to enter into what? Rest. Don't forget what I said. I didn't say Christians are idle people. I didn't say so. I said sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What that means is that there are enough troubles. God lays upon you a trouble for a day. And that's what I mean, literally. That's how Solomon said it. God occupies you with some issues for one day. And he says, sufficient unto the day is that trouble. This is not part of the message. Let me just as an illustration. I was talking to a friend of mine today. I called him my brother, so we chatted for a while on the phone. And for certain reason, I said that, Banky, why don't you do this? You know, this house, you know, I've told you about it a lot of times, about the housing, my housing house. I said, look, if God gave me 100 million naira now, I won't build a house, I won't buy one. I said, I'll go and see my landlord and give him 5 years rent in advance. She said, and she's a spiritual person. She said, she just got the point. She said, it's true. I said, when the time is ripe, I will know. And she gave me a testimony that she and her husband are building a house For 6 years, they were trying to build a bungalow. 6 years or 7 years. Then one day, without telling her, the husband went there and pulled it down. Carried a bulldozer and knocked this thing down. So the man didn't discuss with her because he knew that if he did, there's no way on earth she will agree. They knocked the house down to the ground. Now said, now, I want to build a giant of a house. And in less than a year, he raised it to roofing level. He didn't have the money when he started it. No, I want you to understand something. Don't think that he now saw money. No. He just looked and said, what kind of insult is this, self? So he pulled the... She was telling me this morning. In fact, she said that one first before I said made my own statement. He now said it's true that... Listen, he said, this is how she said it. She said, I'm persuaded if we had done that 5 years ago, we would have had problems. He said, but when the time is ripe, listen, Mark chapter 4, he said, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. Let me summarize it. The earth by itself produces. He himself does not know how. But when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because he knows that the harvest is ready. So I told her, I said, look, that's my policy. I said, it's not about money. It's not about just stepping out by faith. I said, some things are not just ripe at certain seasons. If I have 100 million, then I will share it out. If God lays upon you to build a house, I will help you build it. But I won't build one. It's very funny. I won't bother. If you come and tell me today, now, Pastor, we are building. We're about to. I said, okay, how much is 1 ton of cement? You tell me, I'll give you the money. I don't like good things finishing in my presence without my contribution. It's not the will of God. Are you getting my point? That is, listen, I have quietened and composed my soul within me concerning some issues. That's what we are trying to achieve. We are not trying to labor to get results. We are trying to get to a point where we are totally relaxed in God, that God will know that indeed, alright, if he doesn't help us, nobody will. Therefore, it becomes fully his responsibility. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's how we are going, no? I'm preaching this message again and again. So last time we began to talk about how do we do that. I gave a number of points, you know, like I always say. You can read somebody else's book and it gives you 17 points. Bank is giving 4, all right? That's just the way I put it together. Last time I said number one, these are the steps I gathered together or procedures, all right? Or I'm forming a mechanism, a chain reaction that will produce the precipitate called the quieting. The quiet and the composed soul, all right? The precipitate of this reaction that we are starting is called what? The quiet and composed soul, all right? So these are the reaction goals. I said, number one, the first step is that of generally understanding what life is about. And that was where I ended last time. That don't let life set an agenda for you that God has not set for you. Let them not make your life, all right, a materialistic life. I was reading a book. I told you about the book. I keep reading here and there, Proverbs of Success. And this particular man that they described, said, the man said, listen, something happened to him. They were digging in his house what was going to be the swimming pool in his house. And while they were still digging, he realized that he had a problem. You know why? They were digging the swimming pool. He was already looking at the house that, if I knock down that wall and I put sliding doors here, and I do this one there, I will put this kind of thing there, they are still digging pool. Are you getting my point? So then it dawned on him that he had a serious problem, that he was not a happy man. He was rich. He had a wife he loved. He had 2 children. He had what he thought, actually, what he planned in his life that he would acquire and would make him happy. So by the time he finished, he suddenly realized that he had a serious problem. Then when he knew that his problem was even more serious than he thought, was the third time police arrested him for driving while drunk. Then he knew he really had a problem. He knew that there was serious trouble. That is, there was no satisfaction in him at all. Now, I just want to illustrate the fact that we must not let material things, we must not let the world set a new agenda for us concerning what we should be pursuing in life. Those are the things that disturbs people's souls. They will tell you that, look, if you haven't done it, you've heard it a lot of times. If you are 40, you don't have a house, you're not a man. That's stupid. God never said it. They said a landless man is a voiceless man. I don't believe it. Land or no land, if you vex me, I pray against you, you will seek. You will not say I get voice that time. Your land will catch fire. I don't see land will catch fire before. If a landless, in fact, God said the landless man is a dangerous man. Where did he say it? He said, be careful that you don't disturb the widow and the fatherless. Because their defender is what? Strong. Let's know what is right. Do you get my point? Let people know. You know, I've seen all kinds of people. I've seen people say that. No. One of my relations those days, she did that. Said, I must take my children too for holiday abroad. So they can go back to school. You know, you go to kind of schools where your children, when they go to school, they disturb and say, where did you spend your summer? Where did you spend? Listen, there's nothing wrong with Arochukwu to spend summer. Are you getting what I'm saying? Where's the boy who married from Arochukwu? If you are in a school where harassment, your children come and say, no, we are going to holiday abroad, withdraw them. Go to a Transekulu primary school. It's a good school. They will learn how to fight and face life. I told my wife that let me send my children to a public school near me so they can learn Igbo. All this one that you grew up in Enugu, all you are doing is good morning. So again, I said, it's not nice. Go somewhere, you become tough. Bishop Latilo is making money for speaking three Nigerian languages fluently. Eh? So if your children go to the school, everybody going in here today now, you take your children to school in a fine car, tomorrow you take them, you'll be changing motto. Just know you are going to a satanic school, amen? Or you have a satanic mind. No, I'm telling you the truth, though. One day, Chrissy Baturi told the story. Was I there that day? My wife was the one that went for that program. What do you call it? Purple Fiesta by Blossoms of the Vine. That was about 2-3 years ago. Her husband is very rich, apparently, and they go to a very good school in Port Harcourt. So they discovered something that, you know, jobless women, when their husband get money, they are risky people. They will lead you on the path of perdition. Today, bring their children to school in Lexus. Tomorrow is BMW. The following day is the latest Toyota Jeep. The woman said she realized that, okay, I know what I'll do to these people. So one day she came to their children's school on a motorbike and wearing slippers. So if you want to hang, go and hang. I'm not competing with anybody. She took Okada. I will come with Okada today. If you don't like it, like Fela said, if you not like, you hang. If you hang, you go die. You go die for nothing. The part of the song where I like, we say they will carry your body to the police station. You die wrongfully. That's the one I like. Wrongful death. I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that, look, don't let people just harass your life or nothing. Be mere unnecessary competition. I pray that means the last time. Let me not go by it again. The Lord is good. So that's the first thing. Look, general understanding. There's a reset before each one of us, and you should learn to judge your life based upon the race that is set before you. I taught a series, the first seminar we did up here, titled The Real Faith. All right? Go and check that Real Faith message. We still have the MP3 CDs. One of them is how to assess your life correctly. Please go and listen to it. I'm begging you. Learn how to assess your life correctly. You will not disturb your soul needlessly. Is that okay? That's the first point. Please, let's not forget that. Okay, as part of that first point, I just need to explain this. And don't forget this thing. That's as part of that first point. General understanding to have in your heart. Don't forget that God indeed is the controller of all things. The power belongs to God. I believe something very strongly. My life is not an accident. You've heard me say it several times. Nothing happens to me by chance. If you make a millionaire, I don't make it. Just means that millionaire is yours, it's not my own. That's all. I will never fight you over it. I will never. God is my witness. He has taught me enough and infused his spirit in me enough so that I will never even be envious and say, God, where were you? I wonder what's happening. What's wrong with it? One of the things that I taught my wife that time is that, look, you're not the only one that will be blessed in life. Other people must be blessed also. Other people must be blessed. It's not every business that will come across your own way. If only you do all the contracts, what would they eat? If I teach you some Christian principles and you are selling a charge card on the roadside, you won't rush and run after cars. You know those boys on the road? Their souls are disturbed within them. Chine Doom knows the boy I buy cards from. That one, not the rush. If you go down there, he did it. That guy is a Christian testimony. I don't know whether he's a believer or not, or how you should do business. He just stands like this. For those who want to run, you can run. As for me, if you don't park in front of me, I ain't selling you a recharge card. You know, and God taught me that one long ago when I was in Lagos. You know, when I didn't have a car, didn't have the, you know, so I had to enter buses like everybody. And sometimes you go to a bus, you are waiting to enter a bus.